Hello, welcome to episode one of our Nursing Professional Development Podcast. This is for Fort Hays State University. Today we're going to take a look at a history of healthcare and nursing. In the classical era, which was roughly 4,000 years ago, diseases and disability were considered a curse for going against the gods. There was a thought that those who obeyed God were rewarded with health, while those who were deviant were reprimanded with sickness and suffering. In the Greek era, health was believed to show a balance between the mind and the body. Hippocrates, who's also known as the father of medicine, became an important figure in medicine during this time when he compiled a textbook of medicine that contained secret remedies that had long been held by priests and religious healers. Also during that time, Plato discovered the importance of a balance between mind and body, nutrition, and exercise. We began to see the use of medical techniques and treatments for external wounds during this time, but illnesses without a wound were still believed to be caused by evil spirits. In the Roman era, which was 31 BC to AD 476, we saw Galen enter the world of medicine. And Galen was recognized as one of the greatest medical researchers before the 1600s. Through examination and dissection of animals, he was able to identify that arteries contain blood rather than air, and recognize that the heart is responsible for the movement of blood, though they didn't really understand the process of how that worked. Galen also practiced experimentation of traditional healing practices. Also during the Roman era, the idea of portable hospitals came to life in order to provide care to those who were injured in battle. So nurses during this era were typically family members, servants, or slaves, but it was during this time that nursing really emerged as a specialty. During the Middle Ages, many of the previous advancements from the Greco-Roman era were reversed, and nursing was primarily influenced by Christianity and the emergence of deaconesses. A deaconess was a female servant who tended to the needs of others. During this time, diseases were rampant, and this is also the time of the bubonic plague or the Black Death, which was attributed to the deaths of nearly 16 million people worldwide. Physicians and nurses knew that this disease was communicable, but they had no idea how it was transmitted, and this is what led to the use of quarantines to isolate sick individuals from others to help avoid spread of the disease, which is a technique that we are still using today, as with COVID-19. The next era is the Reformation, which saw the closure of monasteries and the emergence of very disorganized public hospitals where lay women without training were providing nursing care. And because it was difficult to find women to care for the sick, these hospitals were often staffed by prostitutes as their punishment, also for publicly intoxicated women. And these were women who chose that option rather than going to jail. So these hospitals were basically during this time just a place to go to die. The dark period of nursing occurred in the last half of 1500 to 1860. During this time, nursing really had no social standing or organization. Hospitals were staffed by people who were often illiterate, inconsiderate, immoral, and alcoholic. It was considered a low status position, and men and women of intelligence would not even accept a position in nursing. During the 1600s and 1700s, hospitals were considered pest houses, and basically used to protect the public by housing people with infectious diseases rather than actually providing care and treatment to the clients. During this time, being in the hospital actually increased your risk of dying. The Industrial Revolution saw the emergence of capitalism and invention of machinery that replaced work and had previously been done by hand. So as more people were flocking to the cities and working in closer quarters, sanitation remained poor and cities became very filthy with inadequate sewage disposal. So this led to an increase in pests such as rats, lice, and bed bugs that were transmitting diseases that continued to affect these populations. Two important reports influenced public health during this time. The first that we're going to talk about is in England, the Chadwick Report, which found that more than half of the children of labor class workers were dying before they ever hit the age of five. So this indicated that poor living conditions affected the health of the most vulnerable people. Upper-class citizens during this time were living about twice as long as the laboring class. And the findings of this report led to the establishment of the first Board of Health for England and social reform of child welfare, elder care, mental illness, factory health, and education. The next report that we're going to talk about is the Shattuck Report of 1850, and it also outlined findings of unsanitary conditions and made recommendations for tracking statistics and the development of a monitoring system to provide information to the public about environmental, food, and drug safety, as well as infectious disease control. This report also recommended the availability of services for children's health, immunizations, mental health, and health education for all. Nearly 20 years after this report came out, the first state board of health was formed in the United States. So now we're going to turn our sights to Florence Nightingale. Did you know that Florence Nightingale was named one of the 100 most influential persons of the last millennium by Life magazine? What an honor that was, not only to her as an individual, but also to our profession of nursing. Florence Nightingale was born into a wealthy family in 1820 in Florence, Italy, hence her namesake. Florence believed that God had called her to be a nurse, which was much to her family's dismay. At the age of 25, Florence expressed her desire to train as a nurse, which was a request that her parents continued to deny for many years to come. During this time, Florence continued to study math and science and began collecting public health and hospital data. Then in 1851, Florence Nightingale studied for 3 months at Kaiserwerth Institute in Germany, where she learned how to care for the sick and the importance of discipline and committing oneself to God. Once she returned, she did gain some support from her ailing father as she provided care to him. Florence Nightingale's legacy really began during the Crimean War when she was asked to intervene as the public became aware of the lack of medical resources and inadequate care being given to the soldiers. She accepted this challenge and took 38 other nurses with her on an adventure that ended up having a tremendous impact on nursing. Once they arrived in the Crimea, they found themselves at a hospital that was literally floating on an open sewage lagoon, and they were faced with caring for 3,000 to 4,000 wounded soldiers, the majority of which, when they arrived, had no clothing, no blankets, and really they were set up in a hospital that was meant to have about 1,700 people rather than the 3,000 or 4,000. There were no laundry or kitchen facilities here, and the minimal light that they were provided came from candles that had been placed in beer bottles. Florence recognized the need for sanitary conditions and insisted on having clean dressings, clean bedding, edible food, proper sanitation, and fresh air, as she was certain that most of these problems that were leading to these soldiers' deaths were preventable. Before she had arrived, the mortality rate was estimated to be anywhere from 42 to 73%, and that rate was reduced down to only 2% within 6 months of her arrival. During this time, Nightingale also did a lot of note-taking and statistics tracking to be able to support her beliefs about the importance of sanitation, care management, and the cause of diseases. Florence Nightingale has been credited with reforming nursing into a respected and honorable profession. She strongly believed in the importance of education for nurses, which led to the creation of the first school of nursing, which was the Nightingale School of Nursing at St. Thomas, and thus the birth of professional nursing. Changing our gears here, now we're going to focus on a few of the events and leaders that impacted early nursing within the United States. So formal nursing education in the U.S. didn't actually begin until 1862, but many of those first schools for nurse training in the U.S. followed the likes of Nightingale School of Nursing at St. Thomas in London. During this time, it was believed that women primarily exhibited qualities of sensitivity, high morals, pureness, and subservience. So during that time, only women were allowed to apply to these nursing schools. In the early history of the United States, care was based on traditional practices rather than actual nursing research related to the effectiveness of these interventions. A few reports. In 1922, the Goldmark Report was released, and this report advocated for the need to provide undergraduate training for nursing leaders and the establishment of universities to accomplish this task. In 1948, the Brown Report was released by Esther Lucille Brown. This report was critical of the current structure and quality of nursing schools in the United States and led to the implementation of nursing program accreditation through the National League for Nursing. Nursing accreditation is something that we still see in nursing programs today. 1911 saw the emergence of the American Nurses Association, which is also known as the ANA, and that's a national organization for nurses. And we'll intermittently discuss the ANA throughout the semester. Some important nursing leaders to know are what we're going to cover now. The first of these is Lillian Wald, and Lillian is credited with creating the title Public Health Nurse. She also helped establish the Henry Street Settlement, which was an independent nursing service in New York City. And this is what really laid the foundation for the establishment of public health nursing in the United States. The next nursing leader that we're going to talk about is Dorothea Lynde Dix. Dorothea Dix released a report that called out the poor conditions of prisons and mental institutions. So she worked tirelessly during her career to advocate for the humane treatment of the insane and the imprisoned. Our next nursing leader is Clara Barton. And during her work in the Civil War, Clara Barton recognized the need for a relief society that could be activated in times of need, such as during the war. Clara Barton is thus the founder of the American Red Cross. Mary Breckinridge is the final nursing leader that we're going to talk about. And she organized the first midwifery service in the United States, which is called Frontier Nursing Service. This eventually led to the opening of Frontier Graduate School of Nurse Midwifery in Hayden, Kentucky, which is still open today. Frontier has since expanded and now also offers additional advanced practice opportunities. So family nurse practitioner, mental health nurse practitioner, etc. A few key events that took place during the Great Depression and World War II. The Great Depression led to many private duty nurses being unemployed and an increase in the need for charity services for the population. Nursing schools were closed, which resulted in a decrease in the number of students who were available to help work and staff these hospitals. So to replace them, nurse graduates who had already graduated but were unemployed were hired to replace those students for very minimal pay. When the United States entered World War II, nearly 100,000 nurses volunteered and were certified in the Army and Navy Nurse Corps, which led to a shortage of nurses on the home front, and the Cadet Nurse Corps was developed by Francis Payne Bolton. In 1933, the Civil Works Administration was created to provide jobs to the unemployed. This relief program placed nurses into public health roles in schools, health departments, and public hospitals and clinics. 2 years later, in 1935, the Social Security Act was passed to provide benefits to the elderly, unemployed, and disabled adults and children. This also expanded opportunities for public health nursing. After World War II, great advances in technology and drug therapies and surgeries occurred. And this was during the period from 1945 to 1960, which we'll refer to as the Decades of Change. During this time, the Hill-Burton Act of 1946 was passed to provide funding to increase new hospital construction. Private health insurance coverage was expanded, and the baby boom occurred during this time. More nurses began working toward advanced degrees, and clinical research began increasing. The 1950s also saw some major contributions to nursing. In 1950, the very first ANA Code of Ethics for Nurses was created, which was followed by the International Council of Nurses Code of Ethics for Nurses in 1952. We also saw the first scholarly journal published, which was the Journal of Nursing Research. Another big event during this time was that racial discrimination in the American Nurses Association was ended, and nurses of color were invited to join that organization. During the 1950s and 1960s, there was also a resurgence of males who began entering the nursing profession. Looking now to 1961 to 2000, the years of revolution, protest, and the new order. So some major changes that took place in the 60s include this more specialization in nursing, such as cardiac ICU, nursing anesthesia, and clinical nurse specialists. In 1965, Medicare and Medicaid were created, and this was developed to increase access to healthcare by the poor, elderly, and those with disabilities. The ANA released recommendations for all nurses to be educated in colleges and universities. And there was an increase in the need for primary care providers, which led to the development of the nurse practitioner programs to fill that void. In the late 80s, healthcare costs were expanding, and the ANA and NLN released nursing agendas for healthcare reform to address managed care, cost containment, and quality assurance of healthcare services for the nursing profession. Some important events also have happened more recently, and one of those is in 1999, the IOM report to Air as Human renewed the focus on quality and safety issues in healthcare by recognizing that many of these errors that were occurring in healthcare were happening as a result of systems, processes, or conditions that were allowing these errors to occur. And so this report was recommending changes to help improve patient safety. The next report we'll talk about came in 2001, which is Crossing the Quality Chasm. And this was introducing performance expectations to assure patients that their care is STEEP. STEEEP. This stands for safe, timely, effective, efficient, equitable, and patient-centered. In 2003, Health Professions Education, A Bridge to Quality was issued by the IOM, which focuses on education at the undergraduate level and identifies five different competencies that all clinicians should possess, which include providing patient-centered care, working in interdisciplinary teams, using evidence-based practice, applying quality improvement to identify errors and potential hazards in care, and to utilize informatics. The Future of Nursing Report, Leading Change, Advancing Health, also calls for interdisciplinary education, decreasing scope of practice barriers, and increasing the educational level of nurses. Quality and Safety Education for Nurses, also known as QSIN, is an initiative by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation that was created to help prepare nurses with the knowledge, skills, and attitudes, also known as the KSAs, to continuously improve quality and safety. QSIN focuses on six key areas, which are patient-centered care, evidence-based practice, quality improvement, teamwork and collaboration, safety, and informatics. Nurse of the Future Nursing Core Competencies is another report that outlines minimum entry-level competencies that should be met by all students at the completion of a pre-licensure program. Perhaps one of the most well-known healthcare-related events that occurred in recent years was the passage of the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, also known as the PPACA, or simply the ACA, and this happened in 2010. The goal of the Affordable Care Act was to provide affordable healthcare to all Americans and improve their access to care. Initially, this law mandated that all individuals must have health insurance, but that provision has since been repealed. The ACA also included provisions for preventative care, coverage for pre-existing conditions, which is a hot topic right now, and ending lifetime limits. Finally, we're going to talk about the International Council of Nurses, or the ICN. The ICN was founded in 1899 and currently represents over 16 million nurses from more than 130 national nursing organizations worldwide. The ICN works to ensure high-quality nursing care for all, sound health policies on a global level, advancement of nursing knowledge, and a worldwide presence of a respected nursing profession. This is going to conclude this week's podcast about the history and healthcare of nursing.